Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, the founder of Talking with Heroes, and your host for tonight's program. Now, there's always new people listening, just finding out about our program. And so for those of you who are listening for the first time, you can find out about our now 10-year history. My first on-the-air audio program, like we're doing right now, was December 5th, 2005. But you can also find out about the 6 years, 06 to 2011, where we made 5 trips to Iraq and 3 to Afghanistan, by going to talkingwithheroes.com/about. I try to update that pretty much monthly. But we also have an online news site where all our current shows are, some of our past programs, and stories and articles that are sent to me for, by, and about our veterans, our troops, our families, and those who support them. And that is thankyouforyourservice.us. For over a year now, ever since who's become a good friend, Bert Jouett, called me out of nowhere. Never heard of him before. And he started telling me about this alliance of military support groups that had been put together by military support groups and many who are veterans leading the way, military families. And he got my attention immediately because I've always felt all these last 10 years that those of us who do get involved in supporting our men and women who serve, once in a while we might want to consider working together and collaborating. Well, that's what this organization is doing. When Bert first called me a little over a year ago, there were 19 members. Now there's over 60. And it's www.alliance.org. So far, I've had over 50 audio programs with the membership, with veterans, military families, young people. And if you've missed any of them, including videos we have done in the last 3 or 4 months, go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us, and there's an article on the left. I just keep updating it. Listen to details about 45 R4 Alliance members, partners, veterans, families, programs. And you can go through that, learn about all these wonderful organizations, amazing Americans, and each one has a direct link that you can just click on it, and it just starts playing, just like putting in a CD. So for tonight, we're going to continue what we've been doing now. This will be our second week since the R4 Alliance National Conference, and we're talking to board members of R4 Alliance, the leaders that are keeping this going, that some of whom actually were there in the very beginning. And tonight, we're going to be talking to Jeanette Davidson Mayer. She is a military spouse, a city councilwoman, and her husband, Dwayne, was an OIF veteran. He was diagnosed with traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder, spinal injuries, and other medical issues. And so she's also a caregiver. And Jeanette is also on the board of directors of R4 Alliance. We also have on the program tonight Sharon Henderson. She's a retired lieutenant colonel with experience in wounded warrior advocacy and over 25 years of military experience and extensive knowledge and connections in the military health system, VA, wounded warrior community, the Army, private sector, and nonprofit organizations. And Sharon is also on the R4 Alliance board. So I'd like to just first of all welcome both of you to the program. And if we could start, Sharon, first of all, thank you for your service to our country. And if you could start out, introduce yourself, and maybe start out with a little bit about your military career.
Okay, well, thank you, Bob, for the opportunity to be on the show. And I'd also like to thank the R4 Alliance for giving me the opportunity to serve with such an amazing organization. I was very fortunate in that I had a successful career. I retired as a lieutenant colonel 2 years ago, and I miss it every day. How I got there is I grew up in a small town in Montana, and the way I like to refer to that is Hometown USA, because I think that Hometown USA is the place where the most magic can happen in terms of supporting our returning veterans as they come home. I joined the reserves when I was 17, and a funny story, I was told by a recruiter that you'll never deploy. Go ahead and enlist. You'll never deploy. And there were 3 reasons. You're female, you're in the Army Reserves, and you're enrolled in college. So there's no chance that you will ever deploy. So I went to basic training between my junior and senior year of high school, went on to college, and then fast forward a little bit, I'm sitting in the desert, deployed to Desert Shield, Desert Storm. So I spent 5 years enlisted, and I know Desert Shield and Desert Storm and all that is nothing compared to everything that we've had going on in recent years, but that was how I started out. So I came back to college after that was over. I enrolled in ROTC while I was there, so I graduated as a second lieutenant. Throughout my career, I've served time as a medical logistics officer, which was an incredible experience. The Army offered me the golden egg of getting my master's degree in healthcare administration from Baylor University with their military partnership program at Fort Sam Houston, Texas. And so after completing that, I've worked in military hospitals, and I loved every minute of it. You know, I worked with TRICARE and all that kind of stuff, and it was great. I loved every minute of it. What was interesting was that I was assigned to this brand new thing in 2006, which was the United States Special Operations Command Care Coalition. And because I was a healthcare administrator, they kind of recruited me to come work there to help navigate the military health system for all the special operations wounded warriors. And I can tell you that working there changed my perspective on everything. I had always seen things from within the four walls of a hospital. I didn't see a lot that went on the outside, and it was eye-opening in a very good way. Soon thereafter, the Walter Reed scandal happened in 2007 that you guys might remember. Mm-hmm. Sadly, at that time, my job got much easier because I used to call people and I would always be told, no, 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 no. After that, I would call people and they would say, maybe. And then we would have to figure out how to make that happen. So the beautiful thing was, you know, that came from all that is we were part of policy and legislative changes that occurred in the future years. So, and I say what I'm getting ready to say with the greatest of sensitivities, but, you know, after a couple of years, amputee care, spinal cord injuries, severe traumatic brain injury, shattered limbs, you know, things requiring extensive rehabilitation and people who were considered severely injured, it became, sadly, kind of a routine. You know, it was easy. It's like, hey, I got an amputee, and I knew who to call, and whatever they needed would be taken care of. But I began noticing that there was an extremely larger population of soldiers and families that I couldn't help like I could help, like the severely injured. These were people who weren't medevaced, and they didn't come out on casualty reports, but they were the people who what further confounded it, they were people who did not consider themselves injured or deserving of help. But I could see that although they didn't have external physical wounds that everyone could see, that their lives had changed forever and they needed help to reintegrate back into society. By that time, when I started in the Care Coalition, there were three or four of us. By the time this came about, there were probably 40 of us. So I had a whole team of extremely competent professionals helping the severely injured. So I kind of shifted my focus a little bit because I was the deputy at that point because I'd been there for the longest. These folks that weren't categorized as severely injured kind of became my focus and passion. That's when I first met Bert Gillette. He was a recreational therapist with Higher Ground and later became a founding member of the R4 Alliance. By collaborating with him and other like-minded individuals and nonprofit organizations, I was able to send people on therapeutic adventures. And the best part of those therapeutic adventures is that they thought they were going skiing. They thought they were going hunting. They thought they were going fishing. They didn't know that they were going to be trained recreational therapists on site, also helping them heal as people. You know, I really had a hard time seeing people go out and have all these multiple experiences and the families weren't included, and it created a greater rift. what I loved about all of the organizations that are now within the R4 Alliance, which didn't exist then, is that they really focused on the families and they focused on rehab and with long-term follow-up. These people going on them, it was so great. I could trick them. Be like, hey, you want to go skiing? And they'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. But I knew that while they were there, they were going to get some help that they very desperately need. I can't describe the difference that I saw in countless American heroes and their families. Through the holistic and comprehensive support of nonprofits within the R4 Alliance, their lives changed for the better. Instead of surviving, they started living. So when one of the Wounded Warriors I greatly respected and used to advocate for asked me to join the board of the R4 Alliance, without hesitation, I told him that I would be more than happy to do it. I'd be honored. I'm coming into the Alliance much later than some of our stakeholders, one of which is Jeanette Davidson Mayer, who I have the distinct honor of sharing executive duties with. I cover the eastern part of the United States. She covers the west, but really she's actually doing most of the work. She has the institutional knowledge of life, both as a caregiver of an injured soldier as well as a plank holder in the R4 Alliance. I'm proud to work with her, and I'm constantly in awe. And with that, I guess I'll get off my soapbox.
Oh, no, keep going. Keep going.
No, that's enough.
Well, thank you, Sharon. I greatly appreciate your kind words, and I have to tell you, it goes right back at you. Couldn't do this without the support and the care that you give as well. And that is one of the things that I absolutely am very passionate about with R4 is the fact that people are willing to collaborate. They're willing to share their knowledge and their strength because they know it's not just about them. It's about a greater cause. And that's our military families. And that, I think, right there in itself describes a new normal that needs to be created for Americans is we can't have proprietary information and succeed when it comes to helping people redefine who they are and how they're going to be in life. As Bob had mentioned, I am the spouse of a veteran who survived. We joke because that's the only way to survive. He survived used five of his nine lives while in Iraq. So we celebrate that he came home, but it didn't happen right away. It took some recreational therapy trips before he started to realize he can do and he can be again, that the military didn't define him, that he has to define himself, and here's how he can. R4 Alliance and all of our members are amazing at helping people redefine who they are by creating successful, for lack of a better word, successful fun, because you forget how to have fun when you have constant medical appointments, because a lot of us do have a lot of medical appointments and they don't ever go away. They're always there. So we need to remember, how do you have fun in the middle of the turmoil? How do you become a family? How do you become a spouse? How do you become a parent? And that is what recreational therapy teaches in some way, shape, or form. It teaches us all how to be people again. R4 Alliance, I mean, I could just go on and on about the positives that R4 is bringing to our society. They're opening eyes to help them realize that your neighbor may have been home for 5 years or 6 years, but, you know, still check in on them because they still need help. And sometimes they need that little push to say, hey, we're still here to help you. We're still here to help make sure that you're getting what you need and you know, all that good stuff. Anything
Absolutely.
You want to fill in there?
Yeah, Jeanette, you played right into one of the things that I was thinking of. You know, you talk about your experience and everything that the members within the R4 Alliance can do. I think one of the big benefits that R4 Alliance brings is that we have a view of a nationwide scale.
Definitely.
We have a view of everything that's going on nationwide. You know, I mentioned earlier, yeah, I came from Hometown USA. Well, guess what? Hometown USA doesn't have access to all the resources that they need. So
they don't.
You know, in my hometown, there are nonprofits there that support people who are returning home, but they don't know how to handle the majority of the issues that, and I don't want to call them issues. That's not the right word, but
life hiccups.
The majority of the transition challenges that people have, and so what I love about the R4 Alliance is that we're able to create that umbrella of support for all
Definitely.
Of these Hometown USA nonprofits who are fiscally responsible, because that's one of the things that we require. We actually have
Truly.
Strict membership process. So, you know, all the nonprofits in the R4 Alliance, you can guarantee are fiscally responsible. They participate in a continuum of care. They're interested in conducting research that overarching nationwide can contribute to a body of knowledge that can be used to possibly change future healthcare policy and legislation. And it's one of the most incredible organizations I've ever been involved with. So.
Indeed, it definitely is making a difference and leading by example of what a quality nonprofit serving our military families should be.
Yes.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about R4. Talk a little bit about the growth. I mean, I'm just amazed being just watching all this, you know, over the last year, not just in the growth in organizations, but also in the number of veterans that have been helped already.
Well, the number of veterans that have been helped already has grown substantially. We're up to 170,000 military families who have been touched by our membership organizations, which when you start looking at it, how many suicides did we prevent because we are now collaborating together? How many military families are staying together now because we've given them the tools so that they can gain their strength and move forward? That's part of the research hopes and dreams in the future is to start verifying what we see with our own eyes, but we need the data to back it up. The membership is growing. We're close to 70, actually. We're on that cusp of 70 members. Because we have people calling us saying, hey, we want to help set the standards. We want to help be a part of making a difference. So it's a powerful message that we have created, but it's not just us. It is our membership that's creating it. It's a membership-driven organization.
In my experience in this last year or so has been that well over 90% of these organizations, they're being led by veterans or military and military families. So the people that have actually lived through these experiences are out there helping each other, right?
Correct.
Absolutely, and that is one of the membership criteria. So when a nonprofit applies to become a member, there are probably, Jeanette, help me with the number. How many criteria are there? A lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 25. Am I close?
I believe so, yes.
So there are about 25 membership criteria. One of them, which is weighted heavily, is do you have veteran members on your board or are you somehow affiliated with veterans? Because
mm-hmm.
we do. We focus very much on veterans helping veterans.
And it can be veterans from any era. We've realized that
mm-hmm.
a lot of the Vietnam veterans are starting to come out. I mean, they've already paved the road so that our veterans are treated more respectfully, but they are also getting out, and I think that's one of the biggest influencers we have are the Vietnam veterans that are coming on the boards of membership organizations or leading the membership organization.
Exactly. And William Potter, who everybody says Colin Potter, and Heywood Sawyer, they're good examples. They're both on
yes.
the board. Potter is the chairman of the board, and they're both Vietnam veterans.
Yes. very, very fine examples of two outstanding gentlemen who are making a difference.
Mm-hmm. There is nothing more heartwarming to me than watching the Vietnam veterans who were treated so poorly upon their return to reach back to today's generation of warriors and extend their hands and try to make the transition better. There is mm-hmm. nothing, to me, there's nothing better.
It makes me tear up.
Yep, exactly. So let me ask you a couple more questions. So somebody's listening right now, maybe they're military family member, veteran or family member, and they want to know what to do next. So why don't you start out, give the website address, and what do they do when they get in the website to look around?
Well, they go to the letter R, the number 4, alliance.org, and they can browse through who our membership organizations are. There may be one in their area, and they reach out to that organization. And the great thing is if that organization isn't available to, or it's not available, let me rephrase that, if they don't have the space availability, that we will help try to find an organization that can get them in sooner. Not a guarantee, but it is a try so that they can get the help they need as soon as they need. We also help with the family members themselves as well and get them to where they need to go.
Now, you also have some pretty large corporations on board now as strategic partners. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's a huge honor to have Starbucks and the Schultz Family Foundation, who are now supporters, sponsors of R4 Alliance. They're excited about what we're doing because of the collaboration and the research, and they're excited to have us join them with their military musters on helping combat military unemployment rates, because they're at their all-time high right now for military families, and they realize how much military families can benefit regaining their identity so they can go back to work or create a new job or, you know, somehow give back to their communities that they're in, and it's been a huge success. So they're big supporters, sponsors, and partnerships with us. And we also have another one in the transportation industry that we're finalizing right now that are ecstatic to see us making a difference, because there's a lot of transportation industry companies that are military owned or military mm-hmm. supporters. So it's exciting to see small little waves being created of corporations going, hey, you guys are making a difference. Let's help continue that support for our families.
Absolutely. Now, you both touched earlier on research. I had the privilege of meeting firsthand two professors from Clemson University. Why don't you talk about the studies that are going on that I guess sometime early next year everybody in America is going to hear about?
Sharon, you want to touch on that one?
Sure. One of the great advantages of our alliance is that we can develop a list of standardized questions that can be asked of veterans and their families when they attend different recreational therapy retreats. We all know anecdotally and within our hearts that recreational therapy is an extremely effective tool in rehab and recovery, not only for the veterans, but also their families. But mm-hmm. what we lack is quantifiable data that proves it. So the folks at Clemson University, Jamie is one of our absolutely
Jasmine.
Key personnel, and she and other personnel have developed a survey that the nonprofits that are conducting the actual recreational therapy retreats, they've developed a standardized survey that they are all using. And the value of that is that we will be able to collect data. Like Jeanette said, we've served over 170,000 military members. How great would it be to collect all the data from that? But like I said, you know, all this is done in hometown USA. So the value of the research program with that Jamie is the spearhead on at Clemson University is that we're going to be able to quantitatively prove the benefit of recreational therapy.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Yes. Indeed. That's a good word for that.
That's the exciting part because I've met other military families that didn't get off the couch until they attended a program. I've met a few that have said, hey, because of my husband isn't going to try to kill himself, or at least he hasn't tried in the last 2 years. And to have the research to support that is going to be astronomical because when you start looking at a lot of the invisible injuries, the post-traumatic stress and the traumatic brain injuries, people don't see the stress you have. Today, my husband and I have another volunteer organization that we help with giving back in our area because we are small town USA as ourselves in our community, and he couldn't go. And everyone there at this organization we help with was like, where is he? And I'm like, today's just a bad day. But none of them have seen my husband on his bad days. So they don't understand. They're like, what do you mean? He looks fine. But that's where the recreational therapy day comes into play because now he feels like when he can get out of the house, he gets out of the house and he does and he creates. But when he doesn't feel like getting out of the house, it's a lot easier and a lot easier to accept, not just on his end, but my end as well. And it's nice to have that power given back to us that we feel the traumatic brain injury and the post-traumatic stress took away. And recreational therapy gave that back.
Okay, and then I wouldn't want to finish this program without asking you about a new initiative called the Patriots Parade Initiative. If you could talk about that and also give the website for that.
Oh, Patriots Parade. Well, Sharon, I step in at any time, but I like to look at it as a living, breathing, historical book created by the American public, created by those who have served, created by those who have family members or friends. It's exciting to see and read the history that is filling up on the Patriots Parade's website. And I don't remember the website off the top of my head. Oh, my gosh. I had it till I started to say it.
www.patriotsparade.org.
You are good, Sharon. Oh, I love you.
So anything else you want to add? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, the Patriots Parade is an amazing mechanism for people who either have personal connections to people that they want to create a tribute to or who the general public in general, because only 1% of our nation's country serves. And so I'm often asked the question, how can I help? How can I pay tribute? Well, this is a great way. People can go and create tributes to general things. They can create a tribute to people who serve. And so it's just a way for people to go ahead and do that and feel like they're contributing.
And the great thing is it's free until the end of this year.
Exactly.
But donations are always welcome.
Absolutely. Gotta get that
one. And I think that's another good plug, Jeanette, is none of this comes for free.
Mm-hmm.
Jeanette and I are both unpaid volunteers.
Yep.
We have one paid employee, and we're moving forward to make this difference. And any donations that anyone is wanting to make are certainly welcome.
Yeah, that end of year
Absolutely.
Donation. It's that time to start thinking about the end of year giving.
Yep. So they can go to r4alliance.org. But they can also, people can also find you on Facebook under R4 Alliance and Twitter under R4
yep.
Alliance also, right?
And also on LinkedIn and Google+. Our social
right.
media guru guy is fabulous. He keeps us up to date and current on the majority of the social media sites.
Yeah, Todd does great. Seems like he always takes my tweets and changes them, and they're so much better. I start using his from that point on.
Definitely.
So is there anything else you'd like to ask before I ask you all to give a shout-out to our men and women who are still serving around the world?
I don't have anything else. Do you, Sharon?
I don't.
Okay. Why don't you all give a shout-out?
Thank you to everyone who serves and your family's families, because they all play a part.
Very well said, and reiterating that, it takes a village to raise a family. Well, it takes a village to care for a family, and small-town America is where the majority of our military families are. So it's a shout-out to everybody who serves, everybody who touches those who serves, everybody who says that little prayer at night. Thank you, and a shout-out for all.
That was perfect.
Okay, well, I want to thank you both for participating in this program tonight. I look forward to seeing what we're all going to collectively, collaborating together, are going to do in 2016.
Look forward to it.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Okay,
thanks
well, thank you very much,
Bob.
Both of you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Well, folks, you've been listening again on TalkingWithHeroes.com. You've been listening to Jeanette Davidson Mayer. She's a military spouse, an OIF veteran, Dwayne, serious injuries, and she talked about that. She talks about being a caregiver and about R4 Alliance. And Sharon Henderson, retired lieutenant colonel with 25 years experience in the military and helping our wounded veterans. And so much more. And so if you like what you've heard here, I guess those of you who've listened to me before, you've heard me say this before, and more people, I am excited to say, as we come to the end of 2015, are really doing this, sharing about these programs. Once you've listened, you can go on our social media pages and find a post or post your own. But if you find one of our posts, put a comment on it. About how, you know, what you thought as you were listening. And a lot of people now are promoting every single program. It's really, really neat to see that, because this is a collaborative effort in many different ways, amongst organizations, but amongst all of us who are here in America and around the world with supporting our troops. And so I want to thank you all for listening. Please share. And to all of our men and women who have served in your families, thank you for your service to our country. To all those who are still serving, thank you for your service and your families. And if you're in an area right now, which many of you are, where you could be in harm's way, be safe, stay alert. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you home soon. God bless you. God bless America.